Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. Excuse me, I got my throat kind of stopped up here. It is the 15th day of April, 2026. Welcome to this broadcast. We're glad you're with us, and I do mean that. Obviously, you can tell I'm not feeling the best tonight, but I'm trying to do this as best I can and get into the broadcast because I want to talk to you about something very important tonight. Before we go there, though, don't forget tomorrow's Thursday. If everything goes right, we'll be in office all day tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. Loving to hear from you, and I mean that. We have the phone lines open on Thursdays so we can talk to you personally. Don't be shy. When that first time caller said they won't bother me, folks, you're not bothering me. You're a blessing to us. When you're out there, I get a chance to talk to you. It's a real blessing to be able to do that. And I sincerely mean that. So you give us a call tomorrow. If you'll place an order, make a donation, you say you will do it, just want to talk to us a little bit, give us a call at 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. Or if you have long distance, you can call 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. We do want to hear from you, and I do mean that. This coming Saturday, we'll have another Bible study. Folks, if at all possible, don't miss this one. I know some of y'all don't get to watch it live, but do watch it. Don't miss it. We're going to tie together. I'm going to take both hours to tie together the teaching on what's happening in the world today, right now, in that world day, in end-time prophecy. I'm going to use Scripture to do it. You don't have to guess at anything in the Bible. So I'm going to cover it all in the Scriptures. I'm going to name nations. I'm going to show facts. And I hope you'll join us this coming Saturday. You can watch us live if you want to by going to PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com, and clicking on Rumble. There will be 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Come and join us. The first half hour is always prayer requests and praise reports. 11:30 is two this time. We're going to take both hours to get in quite detail about what I think is happening in the world right now scripturally. And I hope you'll come to join us. I'm not saying these are the end times as the absolute end times, but I can promise you folks, we're very close to things happening that's fulfilling Scripture. And no, I'll take it back. We're already fulfilling Scripture. And everything doesn't go at such a rapid pace sometimes. We may have prophecies that may be weeks, months, or years apart, but they're going to happen. And I hope you'll join us Saturday for Bible study. I truly do. I don't think you're disappointed. I really, really don't. I think you're going to be tickled pink. You've watched and learned something. And of course, copies of the teaching are available if you want them on DVD or CD. You just have to let us know. But I hope you'll watch and see if we don't make some sense as to what we're trying to say as we lay out the facts before you as to why things are happening, how they're happening, and what the future holds. I hope you'll join us. And I know out there tonight, people are watching events all around us, and they're concerned, and they should be. We're living in perilous times, no doubt about it. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says that, you know, that we can know that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times are coming. They are here. And I don't think I need to tell you all that. That's really an understatement. Obviously, we're closer now to a world war than we have been in a long time. And I'll cover it in more detail Saturday about how close we may be to something that's fulfilling Scripture at a very rapid rate. But nonetheless, perilous times are here. It's not that we're living in times that's been prophesied thousands of years ago. And we shouldn't be disgusted, disappointed, or defeated, or scared. I understand concern, but we shouldn't be scared. I understand that we are concerned, or should be concerned. We have children, grandchildren, lost loved ones, and many people that go to church all the time and have no idea what's going on. They don't care because they're waiting for the rapture. I mean, we tell them, the Bible says Christ said, occupy till I come. That's a military term to do his will on earth and to spread his gospel around the world. And occupy until he comes to bring forth righteousness, righteous leaders and nations. But it isn't happening, is it? People are waiting for the rapture. Why should they be concerned about that? We'll be raptured out. And I hear all the time, well, it's all spiritual. It's nothing carnal. We're here for spiritual need. We're here for spiritual happenings only. We're here just to do the spiritual side of things. We're not here to be involved in the carnal. Folks, it's impossible to separate the two. You cannot separate the spiritual side from the carnal side and vice versa when it comes to things happening. Yeah, you can do it in certain ways and certain instances, but overall, everything that happens first in the spiritual world. We were created by a spirit. Everything we see in the physical world was created by God, by Jesus Christ, and he created all things, and he spoke into existence. So yes, it was spiritual. But now we see the results of his speaking and creation, because it comes from his spirit, his mind, his mouth, his will. We now see the physical results of a spiritual a desire and command. You look up tonight, the stars, the moon, look at the sun tomorrow, whatever, wherever you are, whatever you're looking at. You look at your home, your family, your cars, whatever. It's all because the Almighty spoke into existence all the physical attributes of creation. Nothing is made that was unmade by him and for his glory. So, yes, we live in a spiritual world, and we were put here a spiritual world and with carnal results. You can see, obviously, that the good results of a righteous spirit trying to do what's right and glorify God and be a moral individual, strong and a man of character, a woman of character, you can see the results of that. But you can also see the results of weak individuals, of evil men and women. That emanates in their hearts. You see, the Bible says the issues of life come out of the heart, out of the spirit side. Your emotions, everything that runs in your thought processes comes out in the physical side. So don't tell me the spiritual side is all that's important, because, folks, you can read what's happening in people's spirits by looking at the results of society. Need I tell you that America is in bad, bad shape. Bad shape. You know, and if we allow these things to bother us to the point, we can become very stressed. And we all do. I do get overwhelmed sometimes. But then I got to stop and remember the scriptures. Like Psalm 56 says, What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That is a strong, strong statement of reassurance and blessing that we must not forget. Although it's very, very easy sometimes, my friends, to become discouraged and frustrated and angry at what's happening. And sometimes it gets to the point that it is overwhelming. We have to take a break and maybe, well, I say run and hide, run and pray. Not too far above my house. I have to get on my side beside, get down to it. I used to walk down the way. It was a pretty good place to walk. It's what place I call the prayer rock, my prayer rock. It was called the camp rock at one time, still is. It's where the Yankees and Confederates camped during the war between the states. And it's also had Indians camped around there. My middle son and I went down there many years ago and dug up some arrowheads and pottery. The Indians camped there, but it was a camp rock. But it's got a natural archway in it, a big archway. It's like a cathedral roof almost, with a slab of stone just the right height for an altar, all natural. Sometimes I go down there and just sit and talk to the Lord like I am you right now. Pouring my heart out, sharing my thoughts, because I need a place of refuge. So from time to time, we have to go some way and just talk to our Father. Even Christ did that. Even he did that. He went someplace and prayed, and angels ministered to him. There's no shame in that. But we can't let it overwhelm us. You know, Christ promised us in John chapter 14, look it up, and get the exact words. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Read it for yourself, John 14, verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, this is a paraphrase. He's not reading it. If you believe in God, believe also in me. That's what he said. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And he said, if it wasn't true, I would tell you it wasn't true, but there are many mansions in my Father's house. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, listen, this is what he promised us. So those that love him, those that obey him, those that have been born again, have repented of their sins and desire in their heart to walk righteously before him. He said, if I go to fix a place up for you, if I go to build you a mansion, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you. That you can be there with me. That's what he said. And yet, I get overwhelmed. I get very frustrated and sometimes discouraged because of what I see around me. Not just what's happening on the world stage, but what I see in my own country, in my own state, in my own community. What I see in the way of people's apathy towards what's right and what's wrong anymore. When I see the compromise in people's lives, not just Christians, but especially Christians, I should say, but not just Christians. You know, there was a time that people that were not even born-again believers, that were not Christians, knew morality when they saw it, and they had basically a moral life. Not everyone, but the masses did. I remember many years ago when I was just a young fella, that's been a while back, when nobody ever locked their doors. No one ever was ever afraid to go to bed if the doors were unlocked tonight. People just didn't do what they do today. Something happened to our nation. And I think it's simple enough to see what happened. We lost our desire as a people, as a nation, to have God as the center of our world, his word as center of our world. We lost the desire to serve him, not just in by mouth, but in actual deeds. Something happened along the way. Churches quit teaching the word of God. Matter of fact, sometime back, you remember I had a gentleman on talking about having a biblical worldview? Well, that's why when I do the teachings of Bible study, we do a Christian worldview news. Christian worldview news. Because I'm going to look at it from God's worldview, not from mine. But the churches quit teaching that. They don't no longer grow, help the people grow spiritually in the sense of knowing that God is to be supreme in our lives. And every, whether it's personal, family, county government, state government, federal government, God should be supreme in all of our lives. He should be sovereign over all. And there's very little evidence of today that the pastors and churches are introducing people to the idea of a Christian worldview. Isn't that not true? And a lot of times that people think we are, we have a worldview, and we're supporting this and supporting that, and that may be well and good in itself. But we've been so deceived and so dumbed down sometimes, we don't know that we're even supporting maybe the wrong thing or not doing the right way because we haven't been taught a Christian worldview. You know, I read a while back that only 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Only 4% have a biblical worldview. Now, there may be another 8 or 10% that's leaning that direction, but 85% of people in this country have no idea what a Christian worldview is. They may go to church. They may be good, decent people. But they don't understand that a Christian worldview demands that we do what's right at all times, not just because we think it's the right thing, but because it is the right thing. Unless you know the Word of God and what's true and what isn't, how do you know what's the right thing? Unless you've been taught by your parents, by the pastors and the leaders of the church, unless you know that scripturally, how do you know? You know, in the same article a while back, I read that a child usually develops a worldview by the time of 13 years old. Whether it's Christian or not, they usually develop it by the time of 13 years old. So you see, the implications extend way beyond the church walls into the culture of America itself. We have lost that worldview, Christian worldview, and not only living in our personal lives and living righteously before God and His commandments, we've lost the idea, the determination, the principle, the conviction that society is supposed to do that also. As it was once in this country, when spiritual laws were broken, moral laws were broken, people paid for that. Today, it's no longer true. It's no longer nearly as true as it used to be. Maybe like a politician named Stalwell, maybe it is, or something like that, in California, resigned from Congress and dropped out of the gubernatorial race in California because he's accused of sexual problems with women. And that's all well and good, but that isn't enough. There's more to it than that. We've compromised and become so lukewarm towards what's right and wrong. We've become so callous and so indifferent to what's right and wrong that overall no longer bothers us, does it? The Christian church, the Christian church at one time in America that was at one time had a tradition of preaching righteousness and living righteousness, taught righteousness, demanded righteousness, has drifted away into almost nothing, oblivion. Through compromise, a little here, a little there, they drifted away and lost the determination, the desire, the demand for righteousness in their own life and in society. And that's true. We now have, even among believers, a confusion on what's right and wrong, do we not? I mean, on major issues, including sexual identity or marriage or murdering babies. I mean, even regular churchgoers have a hard time trying to teach others, articulate biblical positions on these topics. The worldview has been tainted. Their idea of holiness has been tainted and changed. They no longer are that concerned about what's happening. They no longer seem to be convicted in themselves to at least 100%. So they have a hard time explaining to others why these things are wrong. You see, and I'll take it even further than that. It's not the teacher's fault in school to teach your children a Christian worldview, although they should be doing that. There was a time when I was a young boy, that was in schools also. We had prayer, Bible studies. We had Bible teachings and classes on Bible. That's all gone now. But that's a duty, perhaps, of a teacher. But it's not even the church's although that should be the backbone of all so-called Christians in the churches, that they teach a major worldview in Christian issues and Christian principles and godly principles and convictions to live by. But way beyond that, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's the parents' fault to teach their children a Christian worldview. Now, it's really unpopular today to do that. One of my family members one time said, "Don't say that in front of my children. You're getting kicked out of school." I was talking about homosexuality. You said kicked out of school. And I, at the time, one time saying things, other people there one time talk about that, but I thought later, maybe I should have said, "So, maybe they should be kicked out of that damnable thing you call a school." If the parent is afraid that the child kicked out of school for standing for what's righteous, then so be it, let me kicked out of school. But see, the parent was afraid to say anything, the child wouldn't say anything, so the child was taught a non-biblical worldview. And believe me, they are running around like chickens with their head cut off right now. I know them all. As a whole, not knowing what's right and wrong. And the best compromising. And the sad part of it is, according to an article I read, that only about 2% of parents themselves have a Christian worldview. And yet, we're told as parents to teach your children, according to Deuteronomy 6, the time to get out of bed, time to go to bed, the principles of Christian living. They teach the laws and statutes of God Almighty and teach them the way to live. But less than 2%, about 2% of parents in America have that worldview. Is it any wonder that children become rebellious? I didn't see it happen the last couple of years. That's been going on a long time. Is it any wonder, though? When the parents are as clueless as a child, who does a child trust? Who do they turn to for wisdom and insight if the parents are screwed up in their head and spirit as they are? Now you understand why the world and perilous times are here, why the world's going into hell. The Christian worldview has been done away with, basically. So therefore, we turn our backs on God and his teachings and children can't even trust the parents any longer because the parents are confused there about life. Why would they go ask an adult, any adult, about life and what's right and wrong? Well, they're not sure themselves. This adult, this male that said, "Don't tell that to my children, they'll be kicked out of school," was totally living in a evil precept of life. If a child goes into a situation, whether it be school or anywhere else or church or somebody else's home even, well, you know they're being taught contrary to God's word, why do you let them go there? Why do you do that? Are you afraid of losing your job, maybe? Are you afraid of losing your income? You'd rather sell your child's soul, sell that, then stand for the truth? Folks, these are good questions I'm asking. And you wonder why everything in this whole world is so turned around and convoluted. How did we get to the point that we tolerate so much evil and ignorance? Because we lost our faith in the one who created us and gave us his commandments. Christ said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." In Matthew 24, he said, "All this things got to come to pass, but the end's not yet." We have to keep our mind on the promise he made us. I certainly am not walking in a complete Christian worldview like I should, because I don't even know all the answers and some things I should know, perhaps. I struggle to learn those things. I desire to learn those things. But sometimes I have to back up and reread the word and reassure myself that that's what Christ said. He said, "I went to prepare a place for you." He said, "I'm going to come back and get you." But folks, you're not come back for a for a bride full of sin. He's come back for a pure bride, a righteous bride, a chaste bride, a virgin bride, if you will. That's his and his alone. He betrothed to, and she's been faithful to him in all things. When he blessed you with children, and you don't take time to teach him his word and his laws and commandments, are you faithful to him yourself? Is he coming back for you as part of his bride when you allow your children to be tainted by the world, destroyed by the world? Do you think he's come back for a bride that tolerates that and allows that? Do you think that's Bible? Or do you think he really means what he said? He's come back for a bride that's unspotted with the world. For parents that kept their children as pure as possible. Away from the impurity of this world. You see, the Christian worldview is what would change this country and change the world. Because we've lost that almost completely, we've lost our soul as a nation. And I'm going to say this. Many people that believe are going to hell. Many people that say they believe are going to hell. That's Matthew chapter 7. Read for yourself. All that cry, Lord, Lord, are not going to enter in, but those who do the will of the Father. Let me repeat that. All those that cry, Lord, Lord, are not going to enter in, but those that do the will of my Father, our Father. If you're not fulfilling his worldview in your children and your own life, you're not doing his will. So cry, Lord, Lord, all you want to. You're not going in. He meant it when he said the way is broad to destruction, the way to life is narrow. He meant that. I praise God every day for his grace because I'm learning every day, and I'm more sorrowful almost every day because how much I've failed him in compromise, ignorance, whatever it may be. But take this to heart. For those that love him and desire to serve him in righteousness, he has went prepared a place for us, a mansion in his Father's house. And we'll dwell there with him in his presence. We'll be with him in the New Jerusalem when he reigns on the earth. We'll be with him. That is a promise given to us. He said he's the way, the truth, and life. And no one comes to him but to the Father but through him. So, if we know we're failing to live by his standards and we don't care, do we truly love him? Like he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Do we really love him? Do we turn our children over to hell holes we call schools and war churches? Do we really love him? Think about it, folks. Make us break with your phone calls. As always, 717-300-1698.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks. We are back and the phone lines are open. I hope you call and talk to me tonight. I really do. 717-300-1698. You know, Christ made us many promises. And in John 14, 2, on down there, it says that, any man that loves him, any individual that loves him, he said, he'll keep my words. And he said, my Father will love him. And we, him and his Father, will come and make our abode with him. He will live with us. He'll live in us. It's something to think about and be thankful for. Folks, I've said this many times. I have messed up so much since I've become a Christian. Through ignorance, I've done a lot of things. Ignorance, I've had to unlearn probably more than I've learned. Because I was taught for, golly, I got saved in 1971. I was 22 years old. And not only did I have to unlearn what I knew before that, had to unlearn a lot of teachings I was told after that, taught after that. They're trying not to be Bible. Not because these people are trying to hurt me in purpose, but they weren't Bible. And I had to unlearn all those. Yeah, I had to unlearn one saved, always saved, the rapture theory. I had to unlearn all those. The dispensationalism and the Israel in the Middle East today is God's people. I had to unlearn all that. I had to unlearn all. It took a long time. I had to outgrow Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. That sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's not, because it makes you stand out with other people, especially your own family. To them, you are really weird. Well, go ahead and say it. Yeah, I'm weird. But that really makes you stand out. And no one likes to be an oddball and kind of set aside with their family, do they? But I will tell you now, if you're going to live in Christ and live righteously, you're going to be ostracized by some family members. Even Christ said that. It's going to happen. There's no point being disgusted with and afraid of it. It's true. If you live righteously in Christ, and you should, you can count on the fact that we're going to be laughed at sometimes, mocked, ridiculed, maybe actually asked to leave in certain situations, as I was in one of the churches I pastored one time. It's not because I was intentionally trying to cause trouble. That wasn't my idea at all. I was endeavoring to tell the truth and see other people that desire to know the truth come out of the whore, if you will, and walk in Christ. But unfortunately, not many churchgoers want to know the absolute truth because they lived in a lie so long that their customs and traditions have made it very comfortable. And it's hard to break a tradition. Even though you know, you may know it's wrong. In your mind, you know it's true. It's wrong. But in your heart, which is deceitful, wicked, no man can trust it, will tell you it's okay because everybody else does it. And besides, it feels good. One of the greatest deceptions in this world is run by feelings. Many young women got pregnant because of feelings. The young men become daddies because of feelings and lust. That's just a fact. That's just the way it is. So to have it change your perception of history and what you've been taught, even in churches, sometimes it's hard to do. But in order to walk righteously, you must do that. In order to be what your Savior has called you to be, if you truly love Him, you're going to try to obey Him. You're going to try to understand His Word. You're going to study His Word. You're going to pick up a 1611 King James Bible, not one of these newer versions that pad the Word and take out a lot of verses and change the meaning of words, even take the blood out of it. Without blood, there's no remission of sin. You cannot be born again. And if Christ hasn't shed blood, you won't have a chance. I'm talking about a 1611 King James Bible. Buy yourself a Strong's Concordance. We all from here to ministry, we have Strong's Concordance. To understand the root word of Hebrew and Greek, we also offer an 1828 dictionary, Manoah Webster, a copy of the original one, that uses many, 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 many Bible verses to explain the meanings of words written by a Christian. Unless you have that Bible, and you have a concordance, and you have that dictionary, you don't know what you're reading in fullness. If you're going to study the Word of God, you need to dig into what it means completely, not just what you think it means. You might be surprised at the lack of your knowledge. A thing that you would have swore you already understood and knew completely until you study it in more depth and realize there's much more to it than that. I've told you the truth tonight. I said the phone lines are open. We're going to take a phone call in just a second. But the lines are open. I want your comments. I want your input. Is what I said tonight making sense to you? Does it come across as something that maybe we need to look at in our personal lives and in our family lives? I would to God I would know more when my boys are all at home and I was trying my best to teach them the ways of God. And I did the best I could, what I understood. But because I didn't understand it thoroughly, I messed up. No, Christ's grace is sufficient. Praise God for that. But I can see the results of some of the things I failed to teach. Not because I was being outwardly evil or disobedient. I just didn't understand it. Let's talk to Joe right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in.
Thank you, Butch, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
A long time ago, I did a study on the first generational church and the second generational. And when you really did a research on God's holiness and righteousness in their lives, we don't even come close to it.
No.
Yeah, our lives today, you know, I was praying to the Lord, talking to the Lord the other night about this, you know, about the first generational church and today. And, you know, sin, even in the church, is so rampant. It's like a cesspool. And I just, Lord, am I, you know, I just question, Lord, am I really walking in your righteousness? If not, show me what I need to do. I can understand why the Lord gets kind of upset. And I'm going to say this, people. God is not an all-loving God. He hates evil.
Amen.
And I hope that my heart's knit with his, because I want to know him. And you're right, Butch. I remember time in this country. I can remember as a boy growing up in the church. And it wasn't just the one denomination. It was all of them. The house, church houses were full. I watched a video the other day of a pastor. I forget it was in Iowa. He's a Lutheran pastor. Oh, what a speech. What a sermon he had. And I looked at the congregation. His church held about 150 people. Maybe 30 people were there.
Yeah. I believe that.
And it's just declining. I can't say it's all our fault, but I think we allowed it to happen.
Well, Joe, when the life become, when the church becomes lifeless, routine, as the Bible says, to go through a form and fashion, but deny the power, authority thereof, when it becomes that way, there's nothing there to draw the people. The Holy Spirit must draw the people. Has to. And unless the Holy Spirit's there to do that, it's going to die, and it is dying.
That's right, and the young people today have no interest in the Lord. And there's some groups that are out there, but I question their faith. But, yeah, the younger generation, our children generation, has really no desire for the Lord. I take the blame for my children's failures, because I'm accountable for what I've done in my own life with them. Can I fix it? No. Can I ask God to forgive me? Yes. Can I pray for them? Yes. But I still am accountable for what things I had done and what I shouldn't have done.
And we all are. We all are. And because we're remorseful, our Father forgives us because he knows we mean it. He knows we mean it. And we can't go back and change it, but we certainly can try to influence them now with what we have time we have left with them. We can do our best.
Definitely. I mean, I even pray for grandchildren. I don't even know that I have. Is that sad to say that? In some ways, yes. But, you know, I know they're there. The Lord told me they are. And I pray for them. I pray even sometimes for the church, because I love the church, Butch, but I hate what it's become.
Yes.
I've watched the church in these years completely change. Growing up in the Lutheran church, I watched the super merger of three Lutheran denominations come together as one. And they embraced all the sins of the world, letting women in the pulpit, homosexuality, and feminism. And the church went effeminate very fast. And a lot of people walked away from it because they saw that happening.
Well, there's nothing to stay there for. I mean, when the world is pure and righteous as a church, why should it stay in it?
Yeah. Well, I was talking to a young lady here just a few days ago. I remodeled one of her buildings for her several years back. And even she said that she doesn't really want anything to do with the church because the church is no different than the world. And she's right. And because of that, because they are portraying that, the church is coming under greater judgment.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Butch, I think we're going to be part of that judgment. Only the difference is that. I just hope God's grace is with us to, you know, I believe he's going to pick out people, excuse me, separate people, and I believe he's going to do that. Now, talking about hell, you and I both know my wife actually had an out-of-body experience and went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And one question she had was, Lord, Lord, why am I here? This is not right. This is not fair. And the Lord said, I never knew you.
That's what it said in Matthew 7, yes.
And a lot of people in the church today don't know the Lord. And there's been times I even questioned myself on that. But there's a lot of people that don't know the Lord. And in their own arrogance, they think they know him, but they don't.
That's where if we have a humble and contrite spirit, he said God loves that spirit, a humble and contrite spirit. If we love him, searching his ways, he knows that, Joe, and his grace is sufficient. But thanks for the call, and hopefully I'll see you Saturday.
Oh, definitely will.
Okay, my friend. Well, talk to you soon. Have a good evening. Folks, the phone line's open. 717-300-1698. I do want to hear from you tonight. I do. The phone calls have died way down. I hope it's not because people got tired of listening to old hillbilly preacher. But I want to encourage you tonight, but I also want to tell you how we got where we are. If we seek him with all of our heart and love him with all our mind, soul, and body and strength, if we can do that, that doesn't mean we're perfect, but he knows our hearts. It's like me as a husband. I have not been a perfect husband. But Marcia Jean knows I've loved her and tried to provide for her and show her that and treat her like I tried to treat her as best I knew how. I still do. She knows that. She's not going to leave because I mess up a little bit. She knows that. She gives me grace as I do her. But his grace is sufficient for all those that love him and are searching to do his will. So he must be discouraged about that. We covered so much stuff on this broadcast. We're going to have, Lord willing, a gentleman on Monday night named Nemos, who's going to expose things about Trump that you might not know. Now, folks, I'm not ashamed to do that. My job is to expose evil. That's your job also. To rebuke it. That is my job. And I take that seriously. It's not to compromise because somebody's name. I'm to have no respect to a person because my Savior doesn't either. If we compromise because we're afraid we may offend somebody, I don't care who it is. We compromise because we're afraid they may, like Trump does, attack everybody that says anything about him. Now he's threatening, now Vance is threatening the Pope. I mean, if we compromise because we're afraid of that, then we deny Christ before men. It's not complicated. If I can figure it out, everybody can. But the promises he gave us are desired, I would think, than what the world can offer us. In Romans chapter 8, we're finding we become joint heirs with Christ. And Paul said that the trials of this world and tribulation of this world are nothing to be compared with what we'll share in glory with him one day. Folks, our mind cannot comprehend even a little bit what's happening in God's eternity. As I had Micah Van Hoosel on the radio show week before last, I think, and Bible study last Saturday, my mind can't comprehend creation, much less all that is in God's creation and in heaven and his glory. I can't begin to understand it. By faith, I believe it. And I want to see it one day. And that's the hope we have in him. We take our last breath in this body. We will step into eternity. As a matter of fact, you already live in eternity. Eternal life, if you're a Christian, already abides in you. So let's not become afraid. Let's seek him. Boy, the phone lines are dead. I cannot believe it. 717-300-1698. Y'all might have something you might want to add to this or share on your heart tonight, because I can talk for hours. I got plenty to talk about. But I like to hear from you all, too. You're a family. You're part of the family. We want to hear from you because you're part of us. Because you have taken care of us for so long on the radio, we can be here every night and try our best to reach people. We can go to Bible study Saturday and teach a lesson that I never heard taught once in all my years of being in church. I never heard it taught once by anybody. As a matter of fact, our Father has given me many lessons that I've never heard taught anywhere. Not because I'm special, not at all, but because I desire to know his word and teach it. He reveals things to those who seek him, to those who are apathetic, lukewarm. I don't know what other word to use. He didn't reveal himself very much. Unless he gave me to just, I've been working on last week, was not what I had in mind at all, but he changed my mind, as he does quite often. It's been a rather in-depth study. And when I start putting the pieces together, everything I see around me is making sense. As I shared tonight, it makes sense about why we're in this mess we're in. We lost our Christian worldview. We no longer try to, we may try to serve God, but if you don't know His will, if you don't know His word, you don't know whether you're doing the right thing or not. How else can a pastor teach a people if he doesn't know the truth? How else can he teach a people if he doesn't know the Bible himself? It's not possible. Let's talk to our brother Gary in Arizona. Gary, come on in. I hadn't heard from you for a while. You doing okay? Are you there, Gary? I don't hear Gary. There you are. Are you doing okay? You've been kind of hiding for a while.
Well, you know, I don't like to call in unless I have something, you know, that will, you know, go along with what you're saying, you know, and there's other people that can call in and handle those kind of things. But the trouble, one of them, as what I do on the street here, okay, like right here, you know, since I do the display on the street to stick up for the preborn babies, I had to go to all the churches here and talk to people and try to get them to at least to send me one person to help me to do that, you know. And for the biggest parts, pastors won't let their people come to me. I mean, I'm not trying to steal their congregation or anything. You know, I'm just trying to save babies, you know.
They won't let them come join you? They won't let them? They don't tell them?
No, I mean, you know, I can go talk to them, you know, and some of them will let me speak in their congregation. But I can get done speaking, and maybe somebody might come one or two times, and that's it, you know. And, you know, I hate to keep saying this over and over again, but it's just so true. You know, I can read the Bible, you can read the Bible, but if we don't do what the Bible tells us to do, then how much faith do we really have? You know? And, I mean, we see the evil all around us, you know? And so how do we overcome the evil, you know, by good? That's what Christ said. That's what the Lord's Prayer says that. You know, to pray for people who abuse you, you know? So we got to show them, you know, by our actions, you know, that we love people, and that's why, you know, we have to stick straight to the Bible.
Well, you know,
we can't go off on a different road. We have to do that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. I was going to say that you're out there on the streets because of a changed worldview in America. There was a time that murdering babies wouldn't have been thought of, would not have been tolerated. But the worldview of America has ceased being Christian. Now it's worldly. And you're on the street trying to stop the murder of unborn babies. And by the way, they killed more last year than they did before that. It's ever since Roe v. Wade was overturned, they're killing more babies now. But nonetheless, the worldview has changed. That's why you're out there trying to do this, Gary. If we were still a Christian worldview in this country, we wouldn't be in this mess, would we?
Well, of course not, you know. And, you know, along with what you're talking about now these pills that they send in that kill babies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, see, you can hardly stop anybody from doing this anymore because they just, you know, you want to kill your baby, you call somebody, get on the internet, tell them to send you these two pills, you know. You know what?
That's true.
You know what? And the trouble, you see, they take these pills. You take the first pill, you know, and it kills the baby. You take the second pill, and it washes the baby out of your system, and you're sitting on a toilet, and that baby, now I don't care if it's 1 second old or 9 months old, that baby is going to the sewer system. You think about that, people. That's what happens to them little bitty babies.
That's, you know, very true.
Right very down true. At the sewer. Now, how much more evil you think God's going to tolerate us, Butch, doing things like that?
There's not much time left. We're being judged already. And it's going to get, I mean, it's biblical, it's going to get a hell of a lot worse.
You know, Butch, I know I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I've never claimed to be. You know, but right in the beginning of the Bible, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's what he said,
that's right.
And that's what he means. Okay?
That's right.
Now, that's you know, and, you know, I've had, well, you know, well, we have a population problem, you know, and, you know, it's getting to, you know, so to this and that. Well, look, we don't have a population problem.
We don't have that.
We have some people like in China, you know, they only live, you know, in like a third of the whole country over there because we're all pressed into one place, you know. But however, God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.
That's
now, he would not tell you to do something if it can't be done.
That is absolutely true.
I didn't mean to get off on this.
You're perfectly fine. You made good points. Anything else you want to say?
It just upsets me so bad that, you know, I've been out here for, I don't know, about 12 years now. You know, and, well, yeah, brother, well, you know, I honked my horn when I went by you there. Well, gee, that saved a lot of people right there. You honked your horn. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm about tempted to honk their horn. Sometimes, yeah, you know. I get a little upset sometimes. Huh?
I understand that. It's the easiest way out for most of us. We try to do the least we can and call ourselves Christian. That's the way it is. You go to church because they won't be seen as a Christian. That's just the way people are as a whole. And I can't say I haven't been guilty of that myself, to do the least I can get by with. That's what most people do.
I'm sorry I get so upset, but it's all right.
There's no sin.
I cut my eyes out about that, Butch. You know, I mean, like I said, you know, I do the best I can out there, you know, and I'm getting old, and you know, I'm getting a little wobbly, and but that's okay. You know, people have to understand. Sometimes you got to suffer for things that are right.
That's exactly right.
And if you're not willing to do that, and to step out in faith. You know,
then
I have this terrible pain in my legs.
We're down to the last 20 seconds.
Okay.
Ahead.
So I got pain in my legs, but I'm going to tell you what, I still go out there, you know, and I stand out there for an hour, for 2 hours. And guess what? I can jump up and down on my legs when I'm out there. Now, I can't do that at home. You know, so who's with me out there?
That's the spirit moving. Good call, Gary. I got to jump. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. And folks, don't forget, we'll be in Bible Study Saturday. I hope you'll join us for this lesson. Can't watch it live, just watch it. Let us know you want a copy of it. This may answer a lot of questions you may have. It certainly has me. And I hope you'll join us and watch it, okay? We love you. See you in the office tomorrow. Have a great night. Good night.
Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.